Matt, what about some of these, you know, alternative sources of energy that you spoke of earlier? What about just if everybody were driving more fuel-efficient cars or hybrid vehicles? What if we were able to hold off oil consumption, you know, to or bring it down to a level which would keep the oil supply around for a while? Or for that matter, what about the oil companies and their use of these devices, which are what, heating up shale under the ground and then extracting the oil from the shale that way? Why doesn't that work?
Which one of those do you want me to address first?
Start from the top. Why not the more fuel efficient vehicles?
Okay. First, let's sit down and run through the numbers. Okay. And then after I do that, I'm going to explain to you why conservation in the long run actually makes things worse. The only way you can truly conserve energy is to crash the economy. Okay. First, let me explain the numbers. We use in this country 20 million barrels per day. 12.5 of those are for transportation. 8 of those are for personal use of the automobile. Now, let's say overnight, everybody's automobile, the energy fairy appears, waves her magic wand, and everybody's vehicle goes from getting, on average, 20 miles per gallon to 80 miles per gallon overnight.
That's huge.
Right. That would reduce those 8 million barrels per day down to 2 million barrels per day.
Okay.
That means we'd be using 12 million barrels per day in this country. We'd be using about 70 million barrels per day in the world as a whole. Okay, the world as a whole was using 70 million barrels a day about 10 years ago. The U.S. was using 12 million barrels per day about 30 to 40 years ago. Okay, so it wouldn't even buy us 30 years, because in the meantime we'd be burning through, you know, how many ever billion barrels of oil in the meantime.
Well, now, okay, but let's put that in. Yeah, you're right, I'm sure. But why don't, if we look, isn't the picture a little rosier if then we are also finding alternative sources for energy at the same time?
Or like what? Like, well, which one do you want me to discuss?
All right, well, geothermal or what about this thing about, you know, finding oil from shale?
The oil shale, that process, as far as I understand, in that particular article that you're referring to, what they failed to mention was how much energy is used to heat up the oil shale. Thus far, they've been trying to pull oil out of oil shale for 30 years.
Right.
And in every case, the amount of energy that is expended to heat up the shale, it's more than what you get out of the shale. Okay, so you put 200 units of energy into the machine. Okay, let's say the machine was 30% efficient 30 years ago. That gives you 30 units of heat to heat it up. Then out of that, you only get the shale would only have 29 units. Okay, now maybe that machine, they've managed to make it more efficient. Maybe you put 100 units in, and out comes 60. Okay, so you can heat up three times as much oil shale, but you still end up with a net loss. Okay.
Well, but that's for now. I mean,
that's thermodynamics. Okay.
But that will never get better.
That will never get better because it takes. It's like with if you remember from Introduction to Chemistry, Chemistry 101 in college. It takes a certain amount of energy to heat up a molecule of water.
Right.
And that's subject to laws of thermodynamics. It doesn't matter how efficient the machine is that's doing the heating. It will always take a certain amount of energy to heat up a certain amount of water.
Okay,
now if that water was, say, oil shale, okay, and it takes a certain amount of energy to get the oil released, but that the amount of energy that it takes to heat it, the actual heat energy, is greater than the oil, then it's a net loss. You can make the machine that does the heating more efficient, but you still end up with a net loss.
All right, then let's turn to solar, wind, and geothermal.
Okay, solar and wind combined are 1/6 of 1% of our overall energy appetite.
Right.
40% of that comes from oil, 25% from natural gas, 25% from coal. Okay, solar, wind, and geothermal are not transportation fuels. Oil is 95% to 99% of all of our transportation fuels. The only way you can turn solar, wind, or geothermal into a transportation fuel is to use it to get hydrogen from water. Okay, there's a problem, though, is that hydrogen is the smallest element known to man. It will leak out of any container at about a rate of 3.4% per day. Now, if you're a college engineering, say my alma mater, UC Davis, they have a hydrogen, experimental hydrogen car. Now,
right.
If you're doing it on a scale like that, a handful of cars, losing a few percent per day, no big deal. If you're trying to run the entire global economy that had been running on petroleum, now to switch it over to hydrogen, that's something that's going to be losing 3 to 4% per day, you need to make all sorts of revisions to everything. A pipeline system, and this is from an article that's linked up on my site. You can go and see the original documents. A pipeline system comparable to our natural gas pipeline system to distribute the hydrogen,
mm-hmm.
that would cost $200 trillion. Hydrogen fuel cell cars right now cost $1 million per car. We've got 700 million cars in the world on the road. We've got hundreds of millions of airplanes, boats, the national defense, everything else. To switch even a small portion of that over would take 25, 30, 40 years. And, you know, if you look at what's going on in the world, we don't have 25 to 50 years before the stuff hits the fan.